on video. Great. Good morning, everybody. Galatians chapter 6, but to do it right, Galatians chapter 1. Beginning in verse 1, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. Grace be unto you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And shame on me, one thing I did forget were the two chairs that are here, and there's two back in that room, and I did not put those out, so that's my bad. And with that, because we're rolling already, we're going to be going to Galatians chapter 6, our text for this morning. Galatians chapter 6, and beginning in verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Okay, so back to 6:1 now, our text for today. Probably get about 4 or 5 verses here into Galatians 6 today. Verse 1, and there's a whole lot in verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Period. So we'll kind of pause right there as well. He starts this, brethren, who are brethren? Brethren are brothers in Christ. Okay, saved people. So he's addressing the brethren here this morning. You saved people that are here, I'm about to talk to you here. All right, so brethren. Matter of fact, if you went back to chapter 1, we opened up with the first 5 verses. Verse 2. You know, Paul, or verse 1 even. Paul, an apostle. Verse 2, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. So brethren are brothers in Christ. Okay? So all, and I would put that as brothers and sisters in Christ, right, in context. Okay? All saved individuals. Okay, so brethren, if a man, and same thing here, man being more generic, people, you know, anybody that's saved, okay? Brothers or sisters that are saved. Brothers or sisters in Christ, saved. Hey, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Okay? So if, brethren, if. So we got to start with the word if. It doesn't say, brethren, when a man be overtaken in a fault. It says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault. All right, so we need to consider, first of all, is this reality? Is the person really overtaken in a fall? Right, so we're not to be out there being the, I think a term we used to use a lot was being the salvation police. It's not our role to go out there and start judging everybody. You know, are they in a fault? So that's not what this is telling us to do. And we're going to look at some scriptures here in a few minutes to go along with this. All right, but if a man be overtaken in a fault, and another word to look at there is fault. It didn't say when somebody's sinning. It says if a man be overtaken in a fault. Right? And if, by the way, if somebody's got the e-sword, but I've got it here. Actually, if you've got e-sword, could you just pull up the definition of fault? And let's take a look at that definition. Since mine's being used right there, I was going to grab it. Kind of tough to videotape and e-sword at the same time on the same phone. They are pretty miraculous devices, but... Okay. And while we're waiting on that, what we can do is be going to first. I know it might be bad too, because I had planned all along to grab it myself. 1 Timothy 5, usually use Brian's first and mine second, and I just, for whatever reason, put mine up there second or first. But be going to 1 Timothy chapter 5.
Fault?
Yeah.
Yes. Just want to get the definition of fault.
An unattractive or unsatisfactory feature, especially in a piece of work or in a person's character.
Okay, and that probably covers it right there. Just something in their character. All right, so it's a fault. Not sin. The word was not sin there.
Here's another one. A misguided or dangerous action or habit. It has been the great fault of our politicians that they have all wanted to do something.
Okay. All right. Interesting, what's used here and what's not used here. You know, the way many people will use this verse.
Interpretation.
I'm sorry?
It sounds like it's subject to interpretation. There's really no definite.
Yeah, well, everybody wants to go take it and make it say one thing, and we're actually going to talk a lot in the second hour about some of these things. But, going back to Galatians, the whole, I keep this right above Galatians 1. Where it says an epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Galatians, right above that, purpose. The whole purpose of this book is correction in doctrine, correction, the cross of Christ versus false doctrine. And the other is it's grace versus legalism. This whole chapter, or this whole book of Galatians, is grace versus legalism. Right? So now coming back to Nancy, what we were just saying there in chapter 6, verse 1, the people that want to be legalistic today just love this verse. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, us guys that don't sin anymore, all right, restore such a one in this, we just want to go jump all over that. No, that's not what the verse says. First of all, it says, if a man be overtaken by a fault, not by a sin. And there is a difference, fault versus sin. That's why I wanted to have grab the definition of fault there. Okay, versus sin. Okay, this is a part I want to insert into the first hour's session. Galatians 6:1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. And what I just wanted to insert back into the first hour, we talked about the whole thing. Now that we've said all of that, going back to verse 1, overtaken in a fault, in the context of chapters, of the whole book of Galatians, in the context of chapter 5 coming into 6, and in the context of verses 2, 3, 4, and 5 coming after this, fault here. And we did a good job, I think, of talking about it's fault, not sin. But the fault, specifically, is somebody getting back into legalism. That's the fault here in the context of the entire book. Somebody that wants to get back into following the law for righteousness. Somebody that wants to get back into legalism, as so many today do, versus really understanding grace and being in grace. Right? So that's what I just wanted to get back. Shoot, just a quick segment, and Jan Elise, we're probably just about there. Just the definition of fault here is somebody really going back into legalism. That's the fault that we should be watching for, bearing one another, you know, being, if we see someone overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. And how to do that? In the spirit of meekness. Okay? Thanks. A good way to help us kick this off also, 1 Timothy chapter 5, this whole concept of if a man be overtaken in a fault. 1 Timothy chapter 5, and if we look at verses 19 and 20. Against an elder, receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. Them that sin, rebuke before all, that others may also fear. Okay, so, remembering that that camera is right there in front of you. Just
so we all know about Moab.
I don't know why I didn't think about the chairs today. I'm apologizing for that. Right, so if a man be overtaken in a fault, okay, if, we need to establish clearly. And one of the ways to do that is as in 1 Timothy 5:19, against an elder, receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. Just because somebody says, did you hear so-and-so? No, there's got to be two or three witnesses. No different than a court of law. You know, one person standing up, but if there's two or three, okay. We can establish that, of course, there's a little bit more to it than that. But the point is, we don't just take some, you know, well, I won't use, so if we'll use a name that's not here, a fictitious name. So Barbara came in here saying, hey, I just saw, and we'll use Brian since he's not, I just saw Brian up the road there. Well, just because Barbara came in and said it, does that mean that's true? Right? No, but if two or three people came bombing in here, hey, Brian. Okay, well, two or three, okay, we'll receive it, but we still need to establish it. Okay? Anyway. Just using different verses to help us clarify what's being said here. Back to Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, or 6, verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken by a fault, and to be overtaken, to take by surprise. You know, it's kind of like if a lion overtakes a giraffe. You know, that giraffe was taken by surprise. Right? Otherwise, he wouldn't have been overtaken by that lion. He'd have been out of there. It was a surprise. That lion had to sneak up on him. Right? So if there is a man that's overtaken by a fault, one of the brethren, okay, then what are we to do as brothers in Christ, as part of the church, which is the body of Christ, as people concerned about that person? Ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Okay, and we can kind of stop right there. So, if we're spiritual, well, what does it mean to be spiritual? Once again, we could look at I'm looking at you only because we had the conversation starting earlier here. All right, the book, again, being grace versus legalism. Those that want to be legalistic, you know, well, I don't. And they think that's what the word spiritual means. Right? Is that what the book of Galatians says? And that's what we've been studying. Chapters 3 and 4 were doctrine. Chapter 5 was living that doctrine. Let's go back into chapter 5 and just look at a couple of verses here. All right, verse 13. For brethren, once again, brethren, for brothers and sisters in Christ, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. All right? The works, verse 19, the works of the flesh are these, and we study those. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Spiritual. There we are right there, walking in the Spirit, being spiritual. Verse 22 showed us, when we studied that a couple weeks ago, the fruits of the Spirit. Okay, so walking in the Spirit is what is being spiritual. Okay, so we're walking in Spirit, in the Spirit. The next part of the verse, so again, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Tells us exactly the spirit that we should be using to help restore such a one. All right, so first let's talk about that spirit of meekness. Great place, and you know, I know we go here a lot, but to keep it in the context of the study, 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy. Remember, this is the last book that Paul wrote that became Scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Not the last one listed, the last one historically that he wrote that became Scripture. Chapter 2, and starting in verse 24. So you being this servant that's going to help, here's how you should help that spirit of meekness. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. There's your attitude, that meekness, being a servant of the Lord. All right, we're not to go beat them over the head. All right, spirit of meekness, be a servant. All right, now restore. Go back to 6:1 there. Ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. Restore. So think about restoring. Some of you are in the furniture industry, restoring furniture. You know, to bring it back to what it used to look like. You know, restoring a car. You know, maybe even like old antique cars. And if you can find one at an auction somewhere and it's all beat up, you want to restore it to increase its value. So you're gonna get rid of the stuff that looks bad and replace it with new things. You know, if the gas gauge is not working properly, so you're going to go find another one, but you got to put it back in the same place, right? But you're restoring it to its original, you know, what it was originally. Okay, restoring it. So now go back to 6:1 and look at it that way. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness. All right, hopefully that helps just a little bit, kind of bring that verse together. Now let's continue that verse. Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Wow, that's interesting. Let's go over to Romans chapter 14. Considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Romans 14, verse 12 says, so then let every one of us shall give account. Let me do that again. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Right, now back to Galatians 6:1, that last part, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted, because we are going to give an account of ourselves to God. Okay? Saved people have a day of judgment. We're going to give an account of ourselves. So, consider yourself, right, lest you also be tempted in this verse. 1 Timothy chapter 4. And watch verses 15 and 16 here. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. All right, first question probably comes to your mind. If anybody came to my mind the first time I read these verses, wait a minute, save thyself and save them that hear thee? Well, it's not save as in spiritual salvation. It's saved in the context. It's saving people from, go back to chapter 4, 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. It ends in verses 15 and 16. Let's just look 16. Take heed unto them thyself, and unto the doctrine continue in them. For in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee, in the context from the doctrines of devils and seducing spirits in verse 1.
Okay?
To prevent that situation from occurring. Exactly. All right, so verses 1 to 3, you know, give the whole context here for chapter 4. All right, back to Galatians 6:1. So, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. All right, so in the context of that, let's move forward in the chapter. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Wow. The law of Christ, first of all. Let's see the law of Christ. Back to Matthew chapter 20. What is the law of Christ? Matthew chapter 20. We're going to get the law of Christ right here in verse 28. And let's start in 27. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. Servant attitude being the theme here. Verse 27 and 28. Okay, being a servant. Christ came to be a servant. The law of Christ. And that's the attitude that we should be taking back here in Galatians chapter 6. In verse 2, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Alright? Many other verses context that we can bring into here. Romans chapter 15. Let's look at Paul in the first book that he wrote that became Scripture, or that shows up in Scripture, excuse me. Book of Romans, chapter 15. So just keeping this attitude of servant, being a servant. Romans chapter 15, and we'll start in verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. I am in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and I want to be in Romans chapter 15. This does not sound...
Moreover, brethren.
Yes. Wait, make sure everybody's paying attention. Romans chapter 15, verse 1. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another, as Christ also received us, to the glory of God. All right, so, you know, bearing one another's burdens. Some are going to be strong. And by the way, it's not the same people that are strong this week will be the same people that are strong next week or next month or next year. You know, things happen in our lives, you know, on a daily basis, on an hourly basis. All right? Sometimes we might be the person that's the receiving end of somebody's servant attitude. And as we're going to see when you go to turning to 2 Corinthians, sometimes we're going to be the servant that can minister unto someone else who's now in need of receivership of a servant attitude. You know, we're always on both ends of there, not always at the same time, but throughout life we're going to be on both ends of what we're studying here in Galatians chapter 6. So come over to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Book before Galatians, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Second Corinthians chapter 1, right near the beginning here, verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. So who's the one that's comforting us?
God.
For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. All right, Christ paid it all for us on the cross. What more is there? We receive comfort in this, but also we receive comfort, verse 4, in all our tribulation. And because we've received comfort in that tribulation, Jamie's here today and I just happen to look up, you're the first one I see. I can't really console someone who goes through an automobile accident and has a tragic outcome. But boy, Jamie sure can. She's been there. She's lived that. She was in the car with her son. You know, I think of last weekend when we talked about it was your aunt's niece and nephew that were the parents, and a 3-year-old and 5-year-old?
4 and 7-year-old.
4-year-old and 7-year-old in that car. All four of them killed instantly in that automobile accident. I bet Jane, you know, we haven't even really talked about what all went on last weekend, but I'm sure you were able to be a tremendous comfort because you had been through that. And I bet there was somebody there to help comfort you as you were going through that. And again, there's some things that only someone that has been through something like that. I keep in here, I think I shared this even last week, but right here in the front, you know, that's a picture of Jonathan Hampton right there, 9 years old. Right after he was killed. This was what was in the picture they put in the paper, and on the back is what they put in the paper. And no, I'm not going to try to read it. I can never make it past the second sentence, or maybe the third. But it's a joy to read it, you know, when you can read it all the way through. And it's comforting when people know the Scriptures, when they know 1 Thessalonians 4, and that we will be together again with our loved ones in Christ. Okay? And of course, Jonathan being 9, and Janie knowing her son's testimony, and what she shared with us so many times, and Pete, when they've been together. I remember up in Dallas, the both of you sharing those. You know, George was there shaking his head yes right now. All right, you hear stories like that, and that's comforting, and I get goosebumps every time thinking about this. But I keep it here because this is as close as I can come to at least let somebody read this, because I haven't been through a situation like that. I can't say I know how you feel. Each one of you, most of you have probably been in a situation where somebody says, "Hey, I know how you feel," and you want to say, "No, you don't, you brrrr." No, you haven't been through this. Don't tell me you know how I feel. All right, so different circumstances, the things you experience, it is so that you can bring comfort to someone else, another brother or sister in Christ in the future, when they're in need.
You can bring comfort empathetically versus sympathetically. One, you've been through it. One,
yes.
You feel for them and try to bring comfort through empathy.
Excellent point. Excellent points. Yes, for sure. And there is a difference there. Absolutely. Okay, so back to Galatians 6 now. Let's just pick up our context. So back to verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Now that's something. Yeah. If a man thinketh himself to be something, when we're really nothing, he deceiveth himself. All right? Great one to go with this. Back to Romans chapter 12. And in Romans chapter 12, going to pick this. Let's pick verse 1. Start there. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, this present religious world, that ye be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Verse 3 is what I want. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Right? So let's watch the pride is what stands out there. Okay, we should not be thinking more highly of ourselves. You know, take heed. What they used to say in football, the guys that fall hardest are the tallest ones, all right? So you can fall the hardest when your pride's at its utmost, and you're just taller, a little bit taller than normal, when that pride's really got, hey, man, things are good. I'm good, man. I got this going. Just take heed. Now, if any man think himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceiveth himself. All right? So verse 4 then, but let every man prove. So I'm back in Galatians 6. Verse 4, but let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. All right, so we're there for others. We're bearing one another's burdens. Okay, we're restoring such our brothers and sisters when they're in need of restoration. And then our attitudes about this. All right, let every man prove his own work. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, just back a few pages. 2 Corinthians 6. And just watch the attitude here. We'll start in verse 9. As unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. Right, so when you really put that into all context, the attitudes, you know, really watching the attitudes here, okay? As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Okay, no matter what's going on, we can be rejoicing. As poor, yet making many rich. Doesn't matter what state we're in, we can make others just feel like kings. Attitudes that we can portray out there. Okay, no matter what state we're in. As having nothing and yet possessing all things. Okay? Regardless of what we have or don't have, we can have an attitude of possessing all things. Kind of puts things in some different lights. A companion scripture go with this, Philippians chapter 4. Because, once again, we're going to be in these different states and different points of life. Can we always maintain the same attitude? Watch what Paul says here in verse 11, Philippians 4:11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. At all times, really, we should be able to take both sides of that equation. And just, you know, really makes you think about, you know, I'm instructed, he said in verse 12, I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry. Okay, because in those times where I have a nice meal in front of me and I'm full, I need to think about what is it? What's it like to be hungry also? And when I'm hungry, what's it like to be full? I'm instructed, he said. I'm instructed in the middle of verse 12. I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need.
You know, he's pretty deep. The wherewithal. Awareness of that, what we're talking about, when you've gone through a trial, how you articulate or behave, having gone through that trial, others see, and if we take that spirit and that approach, then it really leaves a huge positive for that other individual to see that while you're going through that trial, you're still seeing it in the light of the Spirit or through the Word. Which is hard. We all stumble on that, but and then it also strengthens you as the person who's able to do that to realize that there is glory in this sadness that you're feeling, and you just have to be able to recognize or have it come from within.
Yeah. No, and I think those are excellent points. I mean, we you know, all things are relative. All right, we can start there, but each one of us. You know, we can think, 90% of the people we know, and it might even be 100%, but let's just say 90% of the people we know have been on both sides of these equations. And try to think of, do you know anybody, outside of people in this room, of course, but do you know anybody that hasn't been on both sides of each of these equations? They've had times of struggles. They've had times where she's like, boy, those people, they've got it going well. They're just doing great. Right? We all know, like I say, probably 90% of the people we know have been on both sides of the equation at some point in life. So it helps kind of put things back in, to keep them relative in our own lives. Let's go back to Galatians 6. Let me just start reading some scriptures. You know what? Go back to Philippians chapter 1. while you're going to Philippians 1, I'm just going to pick up Galatians 6, that verse we were on. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, not in another, for every man shall bear his own burden. All right, now, Philippians chapter 1, this whole servant attitude, verse 9. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. All right, and sometimes, to take off of some of the things George was just saying, even, there's people that just appear to be strong, and even though they're in this state, and you say, wow, you know, it's pretty cool to watch how they're reacting to such and such a situation. You know, maybe they're just doing it for Christ's sake, because sometimes the only way that we can get ourselves through some situations is taking the attitude of for Christ's sake. Because in this human flesh state, there's just no way I can see a possible outcome that's going to be good in this. I'm just seeing the negative side of this. You know, for Christ's sake and for my brothers and sisters, and in light of Galatians 6, I'm just going to, for Christ's sake, know that there's going to be a good outcome. All right?
Just obedience and faith.
Obedience and faith. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. All right? Galatians chapter 6, 1 through 5. And young Elise, if I could get you to cut that video.